Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you.
Again, again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Jay with the GSMC Technology Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. So, we got some interesting things to talk about this episode, so let's just hop right on in. So, the first one is a new Alexa app. The NFL is giving voice assistants a go. Earlier this year, the organization tested the waters with the launch of a flash briefing called NFL in 60 Seconds. But today, which is actually a few days ago, the company is debuting its first standalone voice-enabled app. The new Alexa skill, A Rookie's Guide to the NFL, is designed to serve as a companion that guides fans, through the 2019 NFL playoffs and postseason, the organization says. The skill itself was built in-house over the past several months by the NFL's Digital Lab, an area within the league's media group that develops tech products and features to advance the fan experience. Voice technology is currently an ongoing area of focus for this group. And today's launch of the Rookie's Guide to the NFL voice skill for Alexa is only the first phase of the NFL's larger voice strategy, the league notes. Fans who enable the skill will have access to more than 1,000 football and NFL-related terms across areas like the rules, positions, formations, equipment, players, and key personnel. This aspect of the skill is aimed more at getting newcomers up to speed with football jargon like pistol, screen pass, nickel, and other terms. Fans can also ask for general information about the players, like who is Tom Brady? I don't know if people would actually ask that, but some people might. Where did Lamar Jackson go to college? Or how tall is Russell Wilson, for example? And then they can ask for game schedules, matchups, game times, TV network, scores, as well as information about the stadiums, which teams are in a given conference or division, who the head coaches are, and much more. This skill is able to recall Super Bowl history too, offering the score, location, and date of any of the past 52 Super Bowls, as well as Super Bowl MVP and the halftime act from every game. When responding to questions, the skill can return answers in a variety of forms, including both as short and longer, go long definitions, or as videos and images on Alexa devices with screens. The skill additionally includes a 5-minute podcast called Game Plan that preps fans for each round of the playoffs and the Super Bowl. The audio program is hosted by former New York Giants defensive end Osi Omoyiara and other NFL talent. The game previews will offer player and coach audio, key stats, and audio from a great historical play, among other things. The podcast will add new episodes every Monday during the postseason through the Super Bowl, the NFL says. The previously launched NFL Flash Briefing is now integrated as a part of this skill and is updated multiple times per day with news from the NFL Network's news desk. To access it from the skill, fans can just say, "Give me the news." This isn't the first time that Alexa has been able to offer NFL news and information to fans, however. Last fall, an Alexa update allowed the smart assistant to answer questions about the major NFL teams. Alexa can also answer sports trivia, give predictions on games, provide updates on team transactions and injuries, recap NFL games, and more. The Alexa skill store is also filled with a number of unofficial third-party skills, like trivia apps, quizzes, flashcards, Q&A apps, news readers, countdowns, and more. It seems the NFL now wants to more directly own that customer experience rather than leaving it up to Alexa or other developers to handle. Like I said, the new skill is available now across the Alexa skill store in the US, UK, and other countries. The rollout to the US was delayed, but this app has now gone live. So, what do I think about this? So, first of all, I don't own an Alexa. I've never really used an Alexa before. And I don't personally can't say I'm a fan, nor do I really understand the need for an Alexa. Maybe that's just me. And that may just be the fact, again, I haven't used one again. But I will say, this is kind of an interesting thing, and I think this is actually kind of cool. I will by no means call myself a football master or a huge football fan. No. But over the years, I at least understand the game. I understand some of the players, like Tom Brady. I know who that is. Can I say who, what team he played for? It's not off the top of my head. I want to say it might have been the New England Patriots, but I'm not 100% sure. But I know that like there was like 2-3 Bradys that were all quarterbacks at one time. I know that. One of them was for the Giants. And, you know, I'm familiar with the name Tom Brady. Like, you know, like names like, you know, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Brett Favre. I mean, I'm familiar with those names. Those are names like I know who those, you know, like those names. I'm familiar with those names. So, you know, I can watch the game. I understand the game. I see what's happening with the game. I can follow the game. You know, in my teens, I can't necessarily say that. But in my 20s, no, I can at least understand it now. I don't watch it every, like, Sunday or Monday or Thursday. I just don't. But, you know, I have a team, which for me is the 49ers. Sorry, it's not the Raiders, but it's the San Francisco 49ers. But I also will once in a while watch the Green Bay Packers because, well, you know, I was born in Madison, Wisconsin. So, you know, like, I understand it, but I think this would be good for someone like me and, heck, people who are less understanding of the game than me. I think this is actually not a bad skill to release. It's not. I mean, for those super fans, you know, it definitely is a great way to get statistics, scores, knowledge, all that stuff, which is like the same thing I love to do for movies and TV shows and video games. You know, with this skill, you could do for, you know, Alexa. And I think that's really cool. I think that this has potential to do well. I don't know if it's going to do well. I really don't know. I'm just not sure. But like I said, I'm not that I know what Alexa is. I don't own one. I don't necessarily have a desire to own one, nor am I in a giant rush to get one. Just the truth. Just for me. But yeah, if you're someone who like, hey, I want to like, you know, all these statistics, I want all this stuff, this is probably a skill for you. I really do think so. And I think it has potential to do well. I do, because it sounds like it can do a lot of really cool stuff. You know, and it's all voice activated, so you wouldn't have to go on a laptop and try to search all this stuff yourself. You say, hey, Alexa, show me this, and it'll go, yes, no problem, right away. You know, it's not actually going to say that, but it'll, you know, show you all that stuff. And I actually, honestly, I didn't know there were Alexas that had screens. I didn't know that. I didn't. So it just shows you how little I know about this, this technology. Because I didn't know. I just thought it was like a little box, like a little like speaker type thing where, you know, you could talk to it and it would do certain things. You could say, hey, tell me what the weather's going to be today, or tell me, you know, the top news stories, or hey, you know, do this or do that. And it does that. So it just shows that I don't know much about it. But yeah, this is actually really kind of cool. I think it's a great way, you know, to appease fans during the postseason when there isn't any games going on. And maybe like, you know, get people up to speed who may want to start watching it more. You know, their teams and things like that. It'll get them up to speed of what's been going on and what is going on and things like that. So I think it's an interesting little skill. As far as I could tell, I don't think there was a price to said skill. I don't think. Which I'm guessing the skill is a form of an app, I would guess. You know, and the little podcast is not a bad idea either. I think that's kind of cool. I'd like to see, you know, who they'd get on there and, you know, how that would work out. So, like it said, this is available now. And I would say, yeah, I think this is not a bad idea. I applaud it. Bravo. Bravo. I mean that. I think this is not a bad idea. And I think there's some really cool potential there for big fans and not so big fans. You know, I think there is. Yep, I really do. So I think it's kind of cool. So yeah, I'm curious to see how this works out and what happens with this, you know, as they continue to use it and, you know, over the years. So we're going to take ourselves a short little break right now, but don't worry, we'll be back real soon with more technology news.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Hello, this is Jay, back with some more technology news. So this next one, kind of caught my eye. I'm familiar with Samsung a little bit, you know, like some of their tablets I'm familiar with. You know, I know they make laptops, they make computers, I think, desktops, I'm not sure. I want to say they definitely make tablets. I know that they actually do cell phones. I actually have a Samsung now. I used to not, but I do have one now. And it's a good phone. I can't really complain about it. Their tablets are usually pretty good. I can't complain about those either. And, you know, like, they make some good devices. I can't really complain about the company. They do some cool stuff. They do some interesting stuff, some kind of fun stuff, and a lot of different stuff, of course. But this one kind of sounds interesting to me. And I'm curious to know more about it, and I thought this would be a great thing to bring over here. And so this is something called a Samsung Space Monitor. It's a simple, flexible monitor that looks like it'd be right at home in any workspace. It presumably because it gives you space, not because it's meant to use in space. So that's basically what this does. What it actually also does is it's very simple. It clamps to your desk and sits straight up from the edge, up against the wall, if there is one, and takes up about as little space as it's possible for a display to. When you want to bring something closer or lower, or just need to adjust the angle or whatever, the neck of the monitor lets you bring it down all the way to the level of your desk and tilt it up or down as well, though not side to side. Cables go up through the stand so you won't see them at all. Combined with very thin bezels on the side, there's a thicker but still very reasonable one on the bottom, this makes for quite a minimal presence, and it could allow someone to shrink their workspace in some dimension or other. It sounds like if you're putting together a new desk, you might want to look at one of these new products to save space on your desk, you know, like at work or at home. So you could do a wall mount, but it says this is much easier and you don't have to fiddle around with tools or load calculations. You just clamp it right on there. There are two models, a 27-inch QHD 2560 by 1440 model, and a 32-inch 4K 3840 by 2160 dimensions. The latter costs $500, so the former will probably be a bit less. They use VA panels, which hopefully will be about as good as IPS, though of course not quite so good as OLED, though for that tech you'd have to add another zero to the price. One of the only downsides is it's got a 60 Hz maximum refresh rate. That's a possible deal breaker for some people. But the specs also list a 4 millisecond response time without explaining further. Perhaps I've misunderstood, but I asked Samsung to explain the discrepancy. The specs for the 27-inch display could also differ. Samsung says it's a 4-millisecond gray-to-gray response time, which is, of course, separate from the refresh rate of the image, and prevents things like image ghosting. But as I suspected, 32-inch display has a lower refresh rate. The 27-inch display goes to 144 Hz, so if you game, that'd be the one to get. So yeah, this is an interesting little product. I'm not gonna lie, after reading that, I'm a little confused about it, but I guess it's something you put like attached onto your workspace, and you can make stuff bigger or smaller. So it almost sounds like maybe like a magnifying glass of sorts, I guess. And it looks like the main reason for this is it just wants to create less space, like either at work or at home, which I won't say is a bad thing. I think it's a kind of a good idea, and there could be good implications for that. You know, you could free up space for other things like printers, you know, bigger monitors, bigger, you know, things like that, copiers, fax machines. I mean, so it frees up space on your workspace, which I want to say at most jobs you don't have a huge amount of workspace anyway. Not necessarily. I mean, you know, you probably only have so much you're given, and that's all you're given. It sounds pretty simple to use, which I can't say that's a bad thing. I think that's actually kind of cool. I kind of like that. I also like, too, where it said in the handle, like, the wires won't be sticking out. I really do like that, because one problem with some technology is you get new stuff, but the wires just go everywhere. And that can be a pretty, you know, pretty quickly become, you know, get old and kind of become a pain, because you're like, man, I've got all these stupid wires sticking out here or there, you know, and some places might want you to try to cover them somehow, which isn't always easy. So it's true, a number of technology has gone wireless now, but still, you know, wires are, that's one of the reasons anything with wired is a pain. And putting those wires inside of, you know, the holder is a great idea. And, you know, trying to keep as little wire sticking out as possible, I think, is wonderful. It sounds to me, personally, like the resolution is actually pretty nice. I mean that. It really does. And it sounds to me like this is something that I think will be pretty cool. I think this is going to really depend with this product. What are you going to use it for? How often are you going to use it? How quick do you need it to turn off and on? Things like that. I think those are going to be some of the real big concerns, at least that I would think of when wanting to purchase this product, you know? All those things need to be put into mind. And it is a little strange where I didn't see on here a price for the first model, only the second. So it does make me wonder, okay, how much cheaper is the second? That's just the truth. Like, how cheaper is it? Is it like a few hundred dollars cheaper? Is it half the cost? Is it $250? Is it $300? I'd kind of like to know all that stuff. And it doesn't really say that. Also, really, just in a nutshell, I kind of wish that this, you know, there was more information about this. I'm like, it sounds kind of cool, but I'm like, why would I, do I really need it though? It's kind of, I mean, that's where I'm at with this. I'm like, is this something I need to go out and buy now? I don't think so. I don't think I'm like, okay, I need to go right now out to the stores and buy this. No, that's just not where I'm at with this. At least after reading all this information, getting an understanding about it, I'm like, I don't see why I would need to get that now. You know, like if I had a monitor at home, why should I go out and buy this one? Yeah, it seems like it takes up less space, but if I have one that works perfectly fine, I don't really see a reason to go out and buy another one. Like let's put it this way. If I was going to buy a movie a movie that like, hey, I first want to make sure, hey, do I actually like the movie? Two, am I going to watch it more than once? Like, is it something like I'm going to watch again and again? If I'm not, I'm not going to buy it. And if I go into a store and let's say it's not on sale or it's more expensive than I want to pay, I'm not going to get it like there because I can probably get it somewhere else cheaper anyway. It's just the truth. I could go online like Amazon or eBay and get it cheaper than I could in the store. Maybe the exact same thing, you know, or I could get a used copy online that's just as good, which truthfully, most of the time they are for cheaper. So all that has to go into effect. And I don't know. I mean, overall, it doesn't sound like a bad thing to me. It doesn't. I'm just like, but I don't know. I'm not too impressed. I'm not too blown away. But again, monitors, I don't buy much anyway. I use laptops. It's just the truth. So like a monitor to me, I'm like, I don't really personally like, you know, they're not something that gets my blood pumping, you know, it just doesn't. So I don't know. It sounds like it's an interesting little thing, and it has some cool implication, like some cool possibilities with it. But I personally don't see a reason for owning it. But maybe, you know, I'm missing stuff. It's a possibility. There could be things there that I'm not seeing. And if I saw one in person, like, that might be better than just reading about it. You know, if that is true with some technology, It is. Like, where, like, it's better to, you know, hey, let's, like, take a... Actually, if you see one in person, it's like, all right, now I see what they're talking about, and I understand it more. So maybe that's just how I am with technology. I'm visual. That's kind of how I prefer to be. So we're going to take ourselves another short little break, but don't worry, we'll be back real soon with more technology news.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Hello there, this is Jay, back for some more technology news. So this next one, I'm really excited to bring. I've actually talked about it on here before, but some things have come up since I talked about it the last time. So, I could call myself a DC fan. I can't say I'm a huge DC fan. I have started reading some of the comics. I have watched many of the animated shows. Not all of them, mind you, but many of them I have watched. And, you know, I've watched a lot of the animated movies. I've watched a lot of the live-action movies. Some good, some not so good. I've watched some of the live-action shows lately. And, you know, they're doing some good stuff. They are. But I would say DC, at least for me, really stands out with their DC animated movies. Have been really, really good lately. Some of their DC animated shows have been really, really good. Although, to be fair, some of their live-action shows have gotten pretty gosh dang good, too. They just have. So there's a lot of cool stuff DC is doing, and their comics, they're doing a lot of really amazing stuff in that. Some of those comics I got to read, like Court of Owls and Batman and the Signal and even Batman and the Turtles 2. I mean, like, there's some really cool stuff they're doing there that is a lot of fun. They're telling a lot of really cool stories. They've, you know, changed their characters, or they've kind of evolved over time a couple of times lately with, like, there was first... what was it called? There was first where everything changed, and now it's changing again with Rebirth. So it's like the second time in, you know, so many decades it's changed. But it's really big. It's really popular. There's a good fan base for it. So this is DC Universe, the subscription service that's now available. It's like, I want to say, like, $8 a month. And there is a lot of stuff on there. It's really expansive. There's a lot of digital copies of a lot of different comics. I want to say, like, hundreds, thousands, maybe tens of thousands of them, like, just from over the years and over the eras. You can find a lot of the live-action movies in there, like the Batmans, the Supermans, things like that. You can watch some of the older shows, like Lewis and Clark and Lois and Clark. And you can watch the animated shows like, you know, Justice League, Justice League Unlimited. You can watch, you know, the Superman cartoon on there, the Batman cartoon there. Like, so there's all these cartoons on there, right? There's a lot of cartoons on there. There's and there is some new shows on there now. The first show on there is Titans, which I have to say I was really impressed by. I really liked it. I thought it was a great show. It was an amazing show. It put a new, darker spin on these characters that really, really worked. And new spins on them, and how that season ended was amazing. And I'm glad that show got a second season. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And the big one that is finally on there now is Young Justice Outsiders, which fans have waited years for. I've been one of those fans, by the way. That is finally on there. They're doing every week for that. They're doing, because for Titans, every Friday they would air a new episode. With Young Justice Outsiders, they're airing 3 episodes every Friday. And it's going to be like a 24-episode season. So that's coming, every Friday. And then I think they said in February they're doing a live-action Doom Patrol, which we saw. We kind of got to meet them a bit on one of the Titans episodes. I think Cyborg's going to be in that, so that's kind of interesting. I believe later in this year, we're getting the Swamp Thing live-action show and the Harley Quinn cartoon with Kaley Cuoco voicing Harley Quinn this time. So there's a lot of really cool stuff coming up. I'm really, really excited for Young Justice Outsiders. I've seen the first three episodes. It is an amazing start for this show. And personally, I hope the show gets more seasons. So there's some good stuff happening there right now. There is, but really, at its core, you know, it's a good subscription service, but it's just, I don't know, it doesn't blow me away yet. It really doesn't. Maybe because I'm not that into like the older comics, and there are a lot of comics on there. Maybe because I've already watched a lot of the movies or cartoon shows. That could be a possibility. I'm just not, you know, like blown away by how it is so far. Now, at the same time, though, I think this subscription service has potential. It does. You know, I think there's a lot of stuff they could do there that hasn't been done before. And I mean that. Like, maybe they could do, like, you know, more like some more original stuff, I think, is what they need to start planning now. You know, not just like more seasons of these shows, which they're good, by the way, but like, let's see, like, I don't know, like other characters we haven't, because like that's what Marvel has been doing. You know, Marvel has been doing that with a lot of their movies and animated shows. Like, let's show, you know, characters that people don't really know as well. I think that'd be really good for DC Universe to keep doing that. I mean that, because if they keep doing that, you know what? It'll become a really popular service. Like, Netflix is so popular because it has so much original, you know, TV shows and, you know, movies and cartoon shows and animated shows and all this stuff. And, you know, like DC Universe is slowly doing that. But I kind of want to, like, you know, see it keep happening and maybe even happen kind of like in stronger bursts slowly, I think is what I want to happen. Because right now, if you are a really big DC fan, you will love DC Universe. But if you're not, you may not be as jazzed about it. Now, I thought I'd seen the price went down to like $5.99 a month now and like $60 for a year. So it is a bit cheaper than it was, which is kind of cool and kind of interesting. But at the same time, I don't know. I just like it's getting a bit of a stronger footing. This is true when it comes to DC Universe, but I think it's still got a ways to go before, you know, they draw in newer fans, I think, you know, because right now there's only two really original program shows on there. And I think original programming may be what will drag more people. I mean more original programming. Like, let's see, I don't know, like a Suicide Squad cartoon show might be a great idea. You know, maybe see like a Gotham Sirens, like live action show or a cartoon show. It might even be safer just, you know, maybe just do some of those movies they're talking about doing in theaters. Maybe just do them on DC Universe instead. Make them exclusive there. You know, it might be safer. Like Netflix did with Mowgli, you know, Legend of the Jungle. It's like they were going to release it in theaters. Like, you know what? No. Let's just have Netflix release it. And I don't think it was a bad move. I haven't heard the most amazing things about that movie, but like, hey, it was on Netflix. So it's like, instead of losing God knows how many millions of dollars, you're not going to have that happen per se, right? And if it turns out it's well, then maybe it could be a springboard for other things. That might not be a bad idea. Because like I said, Titans has had Teen Titans. It's got Teen Titans Go, which I think is still on. I'm not 100% sure, but I think. And they could use this to bring back other shows. Like maybe like bring back Legion of Superheroes, which was another show that was going to have a third season that didn't get a third season. It ended on another cliffhanger. So maybe bring that back. Maybe bring back some other shows. Like, I think there was a maybe Batman Beyond again or something like that. You know, bring back like that. I think there was a Green Lantern show that didn't really kind of get the ending people wanted to. So maybe do stuff like that. And it might not be a crazy idea to do some DC animated movies for DC Universe too, because they're doing a lot right now. They really are. You know, they're doing a lot of them. And don't get me wrong, they're all really good. I've seen some really, really good ones. I mean that. But might not be a bad idea to do that. Just like, I think like that'll be, if they focus on that, I think it'll be a good springboard for this service, and it'll get more people into the service, because right now it's still building up its steam. And don't be wrong, it's not a bad start It's not a bad buildup. It isn't. But I think that it needs a bit more. So you can check out DC Universe now. Like I said, if you are a big DC Universe fan and you want to catch up on comics and all this stuff, it's a great place to do it. I mean that. So that's all we have for this episode of the Technology Podcast. I hope you had a lot of fun. You got to learn some really cool stuff. And don't worry, we'll be back real soon with more technology news. We'll be right back.